Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. Let me jump into communion with you. I was asked earlier if we were going to be able to fit everything into an hour, and we're going to be able to do that because Anthony and I are going to be fairly quick. At least I am. Yeah. He might go on and on. You never know. But I want to jump in and talk about communion. Anthony and I really wrestled this through for this morning. We, a number of months ago, started talking about doing communion on a Sunday morning. And it really is outside of our DNA as a church, because normally we do communion in an evening service. And it's a special service designed for you to come back into this space, and we celebrate communion. Because communion is a very intimate experience. It's very much a inward focus for someone who is of faith, someone who's a follower of Jesus. And it's a design that Jesus gave us to participate in. It's one of the two sacraments. You got a little piece of paper, I believe, when you came in today. One was baptism, and the other is communion. And so we pushed this around quite a bit, and he was all for it. I was pushing against it, but we actually just landed on what a fantastic way to end 2017, especially coming off of Christmas celebration of the birth of Christ. And so we landed on a simple truth about how beautiful this is, in the sense of as an example of what Jesus did for us. And so you want to share your perspective on that, because we bantered it back and forth.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Since I won, I'll tell you why we won. And, no, but in all seriousness, communion for me always, maybe later on than growing up, has always been an incredibly special time. Because it's an encounter with God that I don't necessarily get in any other way. It's physical. You pick things up. You taste. Mm. You touch. You come forward. So it's an experiential way to understand who God is. But I think also on the heels of Christmas, the timing couldn't be any better. See, because often the message of Jesus, I mean, yes, it gets started at Christmas, but it doesn't finish there. And so we have this whole build-up around Christmas and say this is something so incredibly exceptional, and it is God squeezing into human skin, but that's not the entire purpose of him coming, is simply to just walk around on this earth. His purpose was far greater, and it was to actually lay down his life for us, and communion helps us remember that in a very special, very tangible way. And so this is the discussion we had, and I think this is going to be so incredibly special for all of us here this morning, whether you've had communion before or this is your very first time.
Yeah, so communion, I know, is confusing for some, especially if you're new to exploring faith. Especially maybe if you're new to faith, it's kind of like, what is this? There's this wafer that represents the body. There's this juice that represents blood. And if you're new to faith and have very little church experience, it almost seems barbaric. It's kind of like, what does this mean? And how does it fit into the life of a follower of Jesus? But one of the things that was very clear to both Anthony and myself was that this is probably the best illustration of the good news of Jesus Christ. Is this bread and this juice. You know, Anthony and I and a few others that teach on our teaching team, we work really hard at making the good news of Jesus relevant enough for us to understand. So we use stories, we use teachings of Jesus, we use illustrations, we use our own lives at times to try to portray the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God through the person of Jesus Christ. And we work very, very hard at that. But when we kind of stripped it all away, we realized that, yes, this is an intimate moment to come around these tables and to experience this juice and this wafer, but it's the best illustration. It is the, hands down, the best illustration of the good news of Jesus, by far. And so we want to talk about it a little bit with you to kind of give some context so that it can help us set up ourselves to be ready to participate in this. You know, one of the words that David actually used in his prayer and Anthony used is the word sacrifice. And this is truly one of the things that this is about, is the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Sacrifice is a word that emerges out of the scriptures. You can go all the way back to when Adam and Eve actually disobeyed God and separated themselves from God, and they recognized their nakedness, they recognized their shame. And in that moment, they distance themselves from a perfect relationship, an intimate relationship with God. And they understood that separation because they recognized their nakedness and their shame. What you begin to see emerge in this moment is that God actually covers them. And he covers them with animal skin. We see the first example of a sacrifice that was made in order to cover sin, in order to cover shame, in order to cover guilt. You see that through this first example of sacrifice. You can then go into what is in and around God's people, the children of Israel, when they are in slavery in Egypt. If you've seen the Moses story, you probably know what this is about. But God's people are in slavery in Egypt, and they're praying for about 400 years, and they're seeking God for deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And God responds to them after 400 years. So if you, pray for about 30 days and God doesn't answer, think about 400 years. So that kind of puts it in perspective for you a little bit. But you see in this moment, and there's many layers, and it's very complicated and a very complex story of God delivering. But there's a moment in the story where death was literally knocking on the door of every family in Egypt. And God set up a way in order for death to pass over the families, and it was this. It was the sacrifice of an animal, and the blood was to be placed on the doorposts, above the door and on the doorposts. And death, when death came, saw that it would pass over. So for literally thousands of years from that point until Jesus, you begin to see that there is a celebration of what is called the Passover. It's remembering what God did in that moment, not only the deliverance of God's people, but also the passing over. And so there is this celebration moment. Jesus, actually, the night before he was crucified, before he himself hung on a cross, he himself celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. He stepped into that moment to celebrate with them. When they got together, they would sing and they would pray and they would tell stories and they would reflect. But on the night before, Jesus takes this moment and redirects the whole thing in a way that opens up a whole new understanding of what they would refer to as the Passover and what we call the Lord's Table or Communion. I want to read for you the passage from Mark chapter 14. I want to read this for you to kind of set this up for us. It says this: on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions: "As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." We're going to stop right there. These disciples had celebrated this over and over and over. It was a ritual, it was a routine, it was something regular that they had done. But in this moment, as they are participating in this meal of singing, of praying, of sharing stories, Jesus does something most unusual. He takes them from looking back to looking forward. He takes them to this place where he says, "This is something new that's going to take place, and it's actually going to involve me. It's going to involve me." So he takes the bread and he breaks it, and he blesses it, and he gives it to them. See, he begins to help them understand that his body is now going to be the one to take the place of the sacrifice. That he would now be the one that would step into this moment, and his body would be broken for us. It's interesting because we see this from the prophet Isaiah. He writes in Isaiah 53. It says that he will be pierced for our rebellion. He would be crushed for our sin. He would be beaten so we would be made whole. He would be whipped so we may be whole. There's this understanding in this moment that there's this substitute sacrifice that's stepping in. See, sin needs payment. There's a requirement of payment that needs to be made. And up until that point, it was this regular thing that they would do, a sacrifice over and over for sin. But Jesus steps in. He says, for me, I'm going to take this place. I am going to put my body in the place so that you can be free. The writer of Hebrews says that it was the sacrifice of his body so that we can be made holy. Now, as you read the account of the crucifixion, you begin to see how Jesus' body was beaten. You can read the account of these Roman professional soldiers that would have whipped his back completely open, that they would have mocked him, that they would have spit on him, that they would have slapped him, they would have pulled his. There was so much about this moment that we cannot even fathom. But it was because of this critical step of the sacrifice that needed to take shape that the body of Jesus took our sin upon himself. And he takes this bread that they would have saw as common and they would have saw just as regular, and he breaks it, blesses it, and he gives it to them. He said, this is my body broken for you. For you. But then he also took the cup, which represents his blood.
And so they kept celebrating the Passover, the Last Supper. And it says this is what happened next. It says that Jesus, that he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, he said, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. And I thought about it, what a strange symbol for us to remember Jesus by. I mean, anybody else have this? I mean, blood? I mean, why on earth are we supposed to remember Jesus when we see blood or at communion when we take this little cup of juice? What's the connection? And I think it has to go all the way back to the beginning. Now, not the beginning of the Last Supper, not the beginning of even Jesus' life, but I think all the way in the beginning. I think all the way back to the beginning of this story in the pages of Genesis. You see, in the beginning, there were these two brothers. Two brothers. One was named Cain and one was named Abel. And they lived in this beautiful, beautiful place. It's sort of like the mansion on a hill. I mean, think of the place you want to be. And it says something happened that they got sent out from there, and they ended up having to live on the street corner. Now, those aren't the words the Bible uses, not by any stretch. It's actually the Garden of Eden. You see, in the beginning, God placed Cain and Abel in the garden. It was a place where God was. It was a place where everything they needed was. And then they were sent out into the wilderness. They had took a step down. And now this is not a step down from the absolute best to the absolute worst. It's a step down, though, from the best to something you really don't necessarily want, because it's not the way it's supposed to be. Now you can imagine what happens when you take a step down. That brotherly love goes right out the window. Think of your last trip with your kids in the back seat. Cramped quarters, not what you wanted to be. Not where you wanted to be, not how long you wanted to be there. It's not so very good, is it? See, but something happened. You see, Abel seemed to be getting on okay. Life seemed to be okay. It wasn't how it should be, but it wasn't terrible. Cain didn't, on the other hand, have things going his way, and so he did something. He did something that is almost unfathomable to many of us in this room. He actually said to his brother, hey, come on, let's go do some things. Let's go offer some sacrifices to God. Just the two of us. And he actually killed his brother. Brotherly love went out the window. It says he killed his brother, and immediately following that, God enters stage left. And he looks at Cain. If God looks. He says, what have you done? And then he said, listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, and now you are cursed. And this deal is struck between God and humanity. You shed blood, it brings death, and it brings a curse. And for ages that came and went, people lived underneath of this old deal. They lived underneath of the deal that said, when blood is shed, it will bring death and it will bring a curse. And then something happened. See, about 2,000 years ago, this little baby was born. It was God in human flesh. And we celebrated this 2 weeks ago. Last week, if it was the actual day we wanted to hold it. But they placed him in a manger, and that baby's name was Jesus. And you would have thought right then and there that everything would have changed. Only it hadn't yet. See, sometimes we get to Christmas and we miss what comes next because we're so fixated on what's happening right then and there. You see, the old deal wasn't gone just yet. That happened when Jesus hung on a cross. See, a new deal was written up then and there. See, Jesus, hanging on that cross, looked out at everybody, and he petitioned God, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And that moves me every time. But it didn't even finish there, you see, because he stepped forward yet, breathing his last breath, and he said, "It is finished." And the question is, what was finished? My friends, it was the old deal. The old deal was gone entirely. But you see, Jesus hanging there with a crown of thorns on his head, had blood running down his face. After he was dead, his side was pierced and his blood fell to the ground. You see, that shed blood no longer brought death, but it brought life. Life to every single one of us sitting here right now. The old deal signed in Abel's blood was torn up, thrown out, and the new deal was written with Jesus' own hand saying, "Paid." He said, the new deal is you are forgiven. The new deal is that you are loved. The new deal is that there is hope unimaginable right now, but that one day you will experience the full-on taste of everything as it was meant to be. That the evil and suffering you experience does not get the last word. And the reason that happened was because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ that wrote that new deal out for you and I. And that is why at the Last Supper, he took that cup and he gave thanks for it. And he gave it to all of his disciples and said, "Drink from this and remember me and remember the new deal that is in place." And so they took and they ate. And they took and they drank. And this is why we remember Jesus' shed blood through the juice that we're about to drink.
One of the words that Jesus used as he was sitting with his disciples in that upper room experience was he said, "Take it." As he broke that bread, it says in Mark 14:22, he says, "Take it." I love that thought, because the wonderful thing about this truth that we celebrate today is that it applies to your life when you take it. We all came through Christmas, and it's possible that almost every single one of us, with the exception of maybe a few, received a gift or two. Someone in a living room or in a kitchen or in a coffee shop took a gift and they handed it over to you. And in essence, they were saying, "Take it. Just take it." And you reached out and you took it and you unwrapped it. Kind of the same idea here is that the fullness and the expression of the grace and the love that Jesus offers us through the payment on the cross, his death and his resurrection, applies when you take it, when you internalize that grace, when you internalize that love and that forgiveness, when you take it and you apply it. We are going to head to the tables here in just a moment. And I want to just set this up for us in a way that hopefully will put us at ease. If you are a person here today that has responded to the take it moment, you've internalized this grace and this love and the forgiveness that he offers to you, and you've internalized it in a way that now it's very personal for you, we're going to encourage you to come to these tables in a moment and to hold this little wafer and this little juice, and there's gluten-free in the middle for those of you who need. And you just hold on to that, and I want you to reflect. I want you to feel it. I want you to smell it. I want you to taste it. I want you to hear these words, that this body and this juice represents the body, represents and symbolizes the body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. And as you take that, just say thank you. As we end 2017, may this be a moment that recalibrates you a little bit, and just saying thank you so much for the price that was paid for my forgiveness and for my freedom. Just take it. If you're here today and maybe you're new to faith and maybe this is all like, woo, what's going on? And I'm not sure if I'm ready for this. We want to say this to you. Don't do this if it's not real for you. We don't want you to do something that's not true to who you are. We don't want you to compromise who you are. But this is what I will say. I got to stand up for it. I will say this. If you want to come down to the table, and if you just want to stand here and reflect for a moment, because I believe that it's very possible for some of us standing around this table today could be your day to take it in. It could be your day to come down and just look at this and go, maybe it is true. Maybe it is true that someone paid for me my sin debt that I can't pay, that made me right with God. And so you just come and you just stand around the table. And if you're not prepared to make that decision, that's okay. Just keep seeking, keep exploring, keep looking, keep asking your questions. But maybe it is possible that you could take that juice and that wafer and you hang on to it. And for the first time, you can taste the goodness and the forgiveness and the grace that Jesus offers. The baby born in a manger was just the beginning of what God was doing. It was just the beginning, because he would ultimately go to a cross. His body would be broken, his blood would be shed. So I'm going to leave this to you in the sense of what you feel the most comfortable with as a community. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to encourage you to move to your left. So you're going to move to your left, and the middle sections can come down to here, to these two tables. Just head down this way, and then head back to your right. Up at top, we do have tables for you as well, so there's no fighting for down here. You guys can go up there. And if these ends end up going fairly quickly, we want to encourage you in the back to maybe participate on the outside as well. Please enjoy this moment of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for you. Let's do this together. Let's stand. You know, one of the things that this represents for us is that there's freedom. Freedom from our past. Freedom from our past sin, our guilt, or shame. Strength for the present and a freedom for the future. One day we'll celebrate this Lord's table with our Savior one day in eternity. And the beautiful thing about this moment for us is that you know, we live in a time and an age and an era where oftentimes we become slaves to things. It's an old term, I know, but it's true. We become slaves to our selfishness. We become slaves to our brokenness, our sin, and it kind of has control over us. And this beautiful imagery here is that we can be free, no longer slaves to that. We're going to close our service with a song that speaks to this truth. And I want you to allow this song to wash over you and allow yourself to participate in this closing song in the way that you feel best, in the way you need to. The freedom to do that in this space. I'm going to hand it over to the team. Let's do this.